we doing today?
Morning.
It's good to see you all. This is my first time back to preaching since my sabbatical ended. Actually, I was off from preaching for a while even before that. So it's been many, many months since I got to stand up here and talk with you all, and I'm excited to be here today. A lot of you have asked me about how my sabbatical went and what I did and all that kind of stuff. No, I wasn't out throwing parties all the on the weekend and every day of the week because I could. I was doing some work as well. I was thankful to have my daily work off from the church so that I could work on my studies. You may remember that I started my master's degree with Southeastern University at the beginning of this year in ministerial leadership with a focus on pastoral care and counseling. And so this summer, while I was off from my work at the church, I was doing a lot of work with that, and I was taking these systematic theology courses that were a really heavy workload. They were a lot to do, so I'm very, very thankful that you all allowed me the time and space to be able to work on that, and I just want to say thank you, church, for your support for that, for financially supporting me, for supporting me with prayer, for being there to with goodwill and the policy that allows our staff to be well taken care of. Thank you, thank you, thank you for that space. In that time, I really appreciate it. You may remember a couple of years ago when Pastor Carl took a sabbatical, and he came back from his sabbatical, and during that time, I got to do a little more preaching. I had a good time with that, and when he came back from his sabbatical, we did something funny. We decided to decorate his office, and so we had streamers hanging from the ceiling, and we had filled the whole place up with balloons to almost to waist high, and it was hilarious. When he opened the door, he thought it was so funny, and we just all had a good laugh over that, and we really enjoyed it. When I came back from my sabbatical, it was a little different. So I want to describe to you what I saw when I came back from my sabbatical. I opened the door to my office, and not only did I have streamers, not only did I have things hanging from the ceiling, not only did I have pennants and all kinds of weird stuff and a monkey in my chair, I don't get that one, but I also had almost every surface in the office covered in glitter. I was a little dismayed at first when I saw this, because glitter, if you're familiar, is kind of a pain. And over the next 2 days, I think I spent all my time doing nothing but cleaning my office after I had just gotten back off sabbatical. So we ran the vacuum for like 5 or 6 times. We got everything we could. And then for 2 days, I was down on my hands and knees with duct tape and all kinds of tape trying to get it out of the carpet. But I think the end of the story is, although I'm not upset about it anymore, it is with us. It is with us for the long haul, the glitter. So if you're out and walking around the church and you see something gold and shiny on the floor, this is why. This is where it came from, and it's with us for the long haul. But actually, glitter is going to show up in our message today, and I'm going to come back to why. So it's an interesting thing for me that I get to think about this in a spiritual way, and we're going to do that together. But today we're going to continue our series called All In, and I want to invite you into this series again, once again, as we get started. This series is all about the question of who are we, church? Who are we as a church? What does it mean that we have a shared identity? How does that work out in our lives, in the way that we live together and act together as a church? What does it mean that we're connected to each other? That's what we're talking about with All In. And when you ask the question about our identity as a church, I think the easy thing in church is to give the Sunday school answer, right? We all want to say, Jesus, right? Like that old joke about the Sunday school teacher who describes a squirrel and the kids all say it's Jesus, right? Because Jesus is the answer to every question. But we want to say, yes, our identity is based on Jesus, and that's absolutely true. Our identity is based on Jesus. Especially as Anabaptists, we center our identity and our understanding around Jesus. You may remember the statement, Jesus is Lord over absolutely everything. We said that during our At the Core series just a year or two ago. And so this is true. We are centered around Jesus. We're also biblically based. People like to say that, you know, like, what do we base our identity on? Well, the Bible. Well, of course, every church likes to say they're biblically based. Even the churches that aren't biblically based like to say they're biblically based. So that causes a lot of like disagreement in the church world. So I think it's too easy to just say that we're biblically based. We also have to answer questions about what it means that we live and act together as a church. What does church life look like? How are we connected to each other? So starting with Jesus in Scripture, as we should, We're going to answer those questions about life together. And that's why we're spending time talking about these three commitments in our mission statement of what make us a church on a common mission together. First, we have this slide that Pastor Joel created for us. If we put that up on the screen, I'd like to read this slide together about what does it mean to be all in. So if we could click the slide before this one and then click that one, we'll be able to read it. All right, ready? Here we go. Let's read this together, starting with the word there. Ready? There are three life-changing commitments that mark the life of a person who calls MJMC their spiritual family: enjoying God, loving each other, and blessing our neighbors. I know you've heard these three things before. Not only have we been going through this series together, but it's also been our mission statement for a long time. You hear it from our hosts here on Sunday mornings. You hear us use that language and say those phrases. But I want to encourage you, church, please do not get tired of hearing about these things. Don't get tired of talking about these things, because these are important. These are the things that God brought us together to do. They're our common work. They're our shared ministry. So let's together grab onto them with our whole hearts and walk together so we can see the Spirit of God work in us and out in the world. Today we're going to talk about the second one. That's why it's yellow on the screen. Loving each other. We're getting into that area today. Loving each other. Sounds really simple, right? Loving each other. It's not so simple in the world that we live in, is it? There's lots of dynamics in the world. There's lots of dimensions and layers and differences between people and differences in opinion and reasons why it's not always so easy to love each other. We would hope that it would be automatic in our world, right? We come together at church. We go to the same church. We should just automatically love each other, right? It's not so easy, is it? It's not always easy because we're all different. We're all different. None of us are the same. If you look around the room today, you will see lots of people. Just take a quick look around the room. You're going to see lots of different people here. And I want to tell you that these people that are in the room today, and even the people out on our live stream, hello out there, we are people that God has brought together at this time in this place for a reason. And this is cool. This is exciting because this means that since we're together and connected in the body of Christ, that means none of us has to walk alone, right? We get to partner with each other as we partner with God and what he's doing in the world. But we aren't all the same. And so I want to illustrate this morning for us how we aren't all the same. Can everyone in the room do me a favor and put a hand in the air? Everyone. Okay. If you have been coming to Mount Joy Mennonite Church for less than 1 year, please put your hand down. Tony Brubaker, keep that hand up. If you've been coming to Mount Joy Mennonite Church for less than 5 years, put your hand down. How about for less than 10 years, put your hand down? For less than 20? Less than 30? You can all put your hands down. You guys did great with that. We can see from this exercise that we have people who have come to this church all along history, right? There are some people here who have always been here. People, this is all they know of church. This has been their whole experience in their life, has been part of this church. And then there are people who have come to this church later, more recently, even in the past year. And some of those people may have come as a child. Some of those people may have come as an adult, even an older adult. You just never know. People come into this place at this time for a reason, and God is behind it. And it's not random. So secondly, let's try this. Everybody put your hand up one more time. If you have been a Christian believer for less than a year, you can put your hand down. If you've been a believer in Christ for less than 5 years, put your hand down. How about less than 10 years? How about less than 20? How about less than 30? And how about less than 40? And you can put your hands down. We have some really awesome long-term saints in the room, and that is really incredible. But what you see from that exercise is that people come to Christ at different points along their journey as well. Different parts of different people have different experiences with Jesus. You may have met Jesus in a church service. You may have met him on a street corner. You may have met him through somebody that looked like they had their act all together. You may have met him through somebody that had a tough life and it really shows. You may have met him in a song or a sermon or a moment in time, an experience where he just showed up supernaturally. God works in all kinds of ways to bring all kinds of people to him, and that can happen at any point in our lives, right? One more exercise. This is only a raise your hand if it applies to you. If your family, if you grew up and your family is based within 5 miles of this building, I'd like to see your hand. All right, that's a good scattered amount. Great, excellent, put those hands down. So again, this is just showing us that we have diversity in a lot of different ways in our congregation. People who have different cultures, different backgrounds, different experiences, different traditions, and all of that exists here together. But the really cool thing about finding our identity in Christ is that God brings us together and creates out of all of that a body of Christ. And he wants us to be in unity with each other, even though we're not all the same, right? He brings us together for a reason, for this time and this season. Galatians 3:28 tells us there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And when Paul writes this, he's not saying that those things don't matter, our backgrounds don't matter, what defines us and our categories and our experiences don't matter. He's saying that in Christ, we all are meant to be in unity with us. Scripture is telling us that the walls that divide us ethnically and by tradition and by background, those things come down in the name of Christ. God's plan is to reconcile us to himself and to reconcile us to each other in human relationships. And he wants us to engage intentionally in community for that purpose, connecting with each other. So that's what today's sermon is about, okay? Today's sermon is called Loving Each Other by Connecting. And we're going to look at Acts chapter 2. We heard it from Pastor Josh this morning. Acts chapter 2 is a big deal, right? I'm not saying it's more important than other parts of Scripture, but it's a big deal because two major biblical things happen in Acts 2, two major biblical events. The first one is the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And the second one is the formation of the early church. The first church of Jesus Christ happened at the end of Acts chapter 2. That's what we're looking at today. The chapter gives us a glimpse of what would become the largest, most diverse religion in all of history, an international multi-ethnic movement across the entire world. And in our verses today, we see the core values of that movement. We see what was important to them. How did they live together? And that gives us a blueprint to follow. But before we get to that part, I don't think we should forget or push aside what happened in the first part of the chapter, the coming of the Holy Spirit. So I want you to look at Acts 2, verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Take note of that. They were all together in one place. Just as Jesus had gathered these people together, these disciples that he made into a group, right? He gathered them from different walks of life and brought them together around a table, and he preached to them and taught them about what it meant to live a life in the kingdom of God. He gathered them together, and then just as Jesus had done that, now the Holy Spirit comes to them in much the same way. They're in this upper room, and the Spirit comes, and I'm going to summarize for you what happened in Acts chapter 2, but I want you to know first that the reason that they were together in Jerusalem and the reason that there were so many Jews in Jerusalem was because of the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, it was known. There were three major Jewish holidays in the year. The Pentecost was the middle one, and it was a time when hundreds of thousands of Jews would come from all over the world and converge on Jerusalem. Right? And so we have the disciples, now we call them apostles. Jesus is gone and they're about to become apostolic in the way they function, so we get to know them as the apostles. And so the apostles are gathered in the upper room, and what happens? I'm going to summarize it for you. You can go back and read Acts 2 on your own this week. So the disciples, the apostles are in the upper room. They hear this big noise, right? This loud noise from heaven. And they start to see these tongues of fire come into the room and settle on each one of them. The Holy Spirit is visible and showing that he's coming to dwell in each one of them. And then what happens? They are empowered to speak in different tongues, in languages that they don't even know. And that's empowering them then to walk out and to go out into the street to where all these hundreds of thousands of Jews are and to speak to them about the power of God and who Jesus is. And that's all through the power of the Holy Spirit coming to rest on them. So they leave the upper room, they speak to these Jews, and these people are confused because they're looking at these guys going, these are Galileans, why can we understand them? How are they speaking our language? That doesn't make sense. And then Peter stands up and he gives this incredible sermon and he talks about the power of God and the coming of the Holy Spirit, which was a huge fulfillment of Old Testament scripture. And then he says and declares that Jesus is the Messiah that the Jews have been waiting for and that they need to repent and be baptized, believe in him, trust in him, and follow him. And that's exactly what happens. Now, that's all the first part of Acts chapter 2. And you might be wondering, how does that relate to connecting to each other? Isn't our sermon today about connecting with each other? Well, it does. And the reason that it connects is because the first part and the second part of the chapter connect together, and I want to show you how, and it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. First thing we see here through the first part of chapter 1 is that God wants to gather people to himself by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord wants to gather people to himself by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Lord shows up on the apostles, and then he gathers them together, and then he's already gathered all these Jews together out in the street, right? And then he brings them together so that he can work on their hearts and minds. The Holy Spirit shows up, works on their hearts and minds, and turns them towards him. It was a miraculous manifestation of the power of God. And people couldn't ignore it. They had to respond. It showed that God was present, that he was doing something amazing in order to get their attention. And people did respond. The verse 41 says that 3,000 people turned towards Christ that day, which is absolutely amazing. I don't even know what that would be like. First of all, to speak to that many people. Secondly, to see that many people say yes to Jesus. I want to follow him. He's the one. He's the reason. I need to give him my life. I need to surrender. I need to follow God this way. I need to repent. I need to be baptized. I need to become part of the family of God. I think it's amazing. So today's verses start next, right? Verse 42 is where these 3,000 people now form and become this brand new church, the first church of Jesus Christ. God had gathered them together in the name of Christ and by the power of the Spirit, and what we see next is that they stay together and they connect with each other. Not only does the Lord want to gather people to himself by the power of the Spirit, now we see the Lord wants to connect people to each other by the power of the Spirit. The Spirit is at work, and that's why these two things go together. Looking at these verses, we're going to see several things that the believers were doing as they formed this early church, right? So I'm going to scroll some verses on the screen, which are the verses that Pastor Josh read today, and I want to point out to you just a few things that the believers were doing together as the church. First, it says they learned from the apostles' teaching. That means they were engaged in discipleship together. They spent time together in fellowship. They ate together. They prayed together. They shared with each other and anyone who had a need. They served people. They went to the temple together. They praised and worshiped God together. They met in their homes. They helped people join them by trusting Jesus and following him as the way of salvation. That's evangelism, if you didn't catch it. There's a bunch of purposes of the church that are being shown here. The core values, what made them a church, why were they different than they had been before, how did coming together around the power of the Spirit change them. The first five are ones that we might be familiar with if you've ever read Rick Warren's famous book, The Purpose-Driven Church. There's five purposes of the church in that book, and these are those five. The first one is discipleship, second one is fellowship, service, worship, and evangelism. Those five should be on that next slide there if we get a chance to put that up. Yeah, these are the five from Rick Warren's list. And then we also see other things in this group of verses, things like sharing a meal and charity and generosity and prayer with each other and self-sacrifice and extreme devotion. And that would be the next list that we would show on the screen. These are the things that add to that, and we get this huge list together of all the reasons and all the things that were important to the early church, right? Which looks like a huge list. It's like, how could we do all those things? How could anyone do all those things? Well, this is what they were about as a church. And this is our blueprint as well. This shows us how they were transformed by the power of the Spirit, coming together, forming a family, a body of Christ that was built around these things that God had intended for them to do together. And then this is our blueprint because we want to be like the early church in this way. We want to be organized around the name of Jesus, connected together in the name of Jesus, and we want to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, just like they did. We are meant to participate in all of these things. I want to show you a photograph. This picture is a group of old friends of mine and Sarah's. I don't say old because they're old. I say old because we're all getting older. It's a joke. Never mind. This is a group of friends of mine that we've been friends for a long time. We came together and formed a small group at a church that we used to go to. This is probably one of the largest iterations of that group, largest forms of the group. It's even missing a couple that's still very important in our lives. And this group is super important to us still in our lives today. These are people that we're not in touch with all of them. Some of them have moved away. Some are missionaries. Some are not with us in one way or another. But there are people in this picture that are still our closest friends today. And that's because we were formed together in a spiritual context. We were formed together out of a bunch of people that didn't have a whole lot in common, didn't come from the same place, didn't come to know Christ in the same way, didn't, you know, have the same church experiences or the same traditions or the same cultures. But there was this open call for joining a small group, and so we became a small group. Kind of a big group, but we became a small group. And these are people that we then connected with and became important. They became important in our lives, and we got to experience a lot of things together. We've been there for each other when things are challenging in our lives. We've challenged each other in spiritual growth. We've studied scripture together. We've shared meals together. We've gone to barbecues together like we just did over this past Labor Day weekend, dance classes and concerts and all kinds of things that we've shared together. And then there's a couple in this group in the middle of the photo that the wife actually just passed away this year at the age of 50, and that was very sad for our group. And the husband is one of my closest friends, and I've had the privilege to walk through this time together with him, as difficult as it is, because I don't share the experience that he's having. I know that it's one of my greatest fears and worries in my life that something would happen to my wife, and it's got to be incredibly, incredibly hard to lose her at such a young age. Now he's in his 40s trying to navigate what it means to be single again, to be a widower, and to have lost the person who meant the most to him. And I have the privilege to walk with this through him and pray for him and say, hey man, how are you doing? And what's going on in your life, and how can I support you? And his relationship, his friendship is really important to me. And I know he would say the same about me. Because I think no matter how many years go on, there will be people in this photograph that I'm going to stay connected to in that way. It's a spiritual family. And nothing is like that spiritual family. There's nobody else in our lives that connects that way. Even your blood family, sometimes it's like, yeah, these are the people I'm stuck with, right? I say that as a joke. Of course, we love our family, but we all have dynamics in our family, and we know that nothing changes the fact that we're related to each other. Your spiritual family, you can choose, right? You can choose whether you're going to stay connected to these people. So this family is important to me, just as our family that we have here at Mount Sinai Mennonite Church is important to me. Earlier, you all raised your hand, and you showed how long you've been part of Mount Joy Mennonite Church. I think there are people here in the room, as I said earlier, who have only known this church, right? They've always been here. And there are people in this room who have come along the way, who have joined us even recently. And I think that's a beautiful thing. I think the people who have been here forever are lucky because they don't have to work as hard necessarily to connect because they have family and they have friends that they've always been around. And then there are people who have come in later and they need intentional connection, right? We need the church to feel like home for all of us. This is one example of my spiritual home. This group that you see on the screen is one example of my spiritual home and family. And then this church is another example. And we have to be intentional about the way we connect with each other. It takes extreme devotion to the Lord and to each other, like we saw in the early church. But here's the good news. When we do this, when we intentionally connect with people in this way, we are operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. We saw in Scripture how God wants to gather people to himself by the power of the Spirit, and he wants to connect people to each other by the power of the Spirit. That's our opportunity. That's our privilege as a church, is to connect to people in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit makes a lasting impact. You remember how I talked about glitter earlier? I want to come back to that. What happens when you touch glitter? It sticks. It's hard to get off, isn't it? You put your hand down in a pile of glitter, it's there. And it's probably going to be there for a little while. It's hard to get rid of. So if I was to, for instance, fill a bag with glitter and ask my son to dump it over Pastor Josh's head this morning, it would probably stick. Right, Noah? Okay, just kidding. It wasn't really glitter. I still had to try. But glitter sticks with you. It's with you for the long haul. It gets on someone. It's hard to get it off. And I think glitter is like the Holy Spirit in that way. When you come into contact with the Holy Spirit through another person, it's like glitter that gets on you, and it sticks with you for the long haul. This week I did an assignment for my graduate class, and it was called a life mapping assignment. And so I'm going to put that up on the screen. This life map was something that I had to do where I had to list people and places, experiences that were important on my spiritual journey. Things that shaped me, people that helped me come to know the Lord. And I think if we would all do that assignment, if we would all do something like this, we would come up with the names of people along the way who have helped us to know the Lord, right? Who are you thinking of right now? Just think of one person in your mind that helped you to know who the Lord is. We've all got that person or those people, right? I had a whole bunch of names on my map, a whole bunch of names on that list, people who impacted my life. Some of them left me covered in glitter, things that I will carry with me forever, right? The way that I was touched by the Holy Spirit through my relationship with these people is immeasurable, and I will carry it with me as long as I live. I think church ought to be like that. Don't you? Church ought to be a place where we are impacted by each other. We reflect the kind of community where the glitter gets on you and it's with you for the long haul. When people connect with us, they get that glitter, the work of God in our lives. The church is an incubator for growth that God wants to bring about in us, and it happens not just in an individual way. Don't think about church as like, I go to church, I attend this class, I do whatever, I listen to a sermon, and I grow. Think about it as also, in addition to that, we do these things together. We grow together. In community, we benefit from the presence of God and what he wants to do in us, through us, among us, and from one person to another. We definitely can and should seek God individually and one-on-one. But when we gather together as a church, we get the benefit of what God is doing through our relationships. We can see God in every single person that he's brought into our life that we have a relationship with. I can't tell you how many times someone has shared something with me that God had taught them, and then it turns around and makes an impact on my spiritual growth and who I am in Christ and helps me. On Sunday mornings, we come together as a church. Here we are. We come into this space, into this worship center, and we tend to face the front, right? We face the front, we engage in worship, we listen to a sermon. That's absolutely fine. But last week, even during our worship in the round, where Sarah and I were leading worship from the middle of the room, I was hoping that we would all kind of face the center and interact together. And it didn't work out that way. And that's okay. We'll have another opportunity to do that. But in our worship and in our life together, we need community. We need interaction. It's not always about facing the front. There's nothing wrong with engaging in worship from here to there. There's nothing wrong in listening to a sermon at all. But if we don't also interact, then we're missing out on community. Pastor Joel likes to say that circles, not rows, provide the best environment for experiencing community. And this is why I would tell you that group life is super important to our church family, to building our community. I firmly believe that the church scattered into smaller groups can do everything that the church gathered in a large group can do. Did you catch that? I firmly believe that the church scattered into smaller groups can do everything that the church gathered in a larger group can do. Like the early church, we are the church, whether we're in a large or a small format. Think about it. Can you fellowship together with a small group of people? Yeah. Can you worship together? Can you serve together? Can you disciple each other? Absolutely. Can you engage in evangelism? Absolutely you can. The apostles helped smaller groups of believers go out from that first version of the church and get established and live as a church and plant new churches in different places. And then the early church spread in small groups across the Roman world into the largest multi-ethnic spiritual movement that the world has ever seen. And that just shows us that gathering together in smaller groups can create community and spiritual growth. Group life is important in the church. So what does group life look like at Mount Joy Mennonite Church? Well, it's three things. Group life here is small groups, which are often home-based. It's next steps groups that happen on Sunday mornings. And it's any other kind of special group. You could have a prayer group. You could have a group that gathers together for some need or some project that you're working on. I have a friend who has a grilling small group. He gets guys together to smoke meat and then talk about the Bible, which I think is excellent. And if anyone wants to start that, I'm there. A group is any opportunity we have to gather together in a subgroup of the large gathered church and do the things that fulfill the purposes of the church. Now, Acts chapter 2 tells us that when we're faithful in extreme devotion to the Lord and each other, the Holy Spirit is at work and people are added to our number. Remember, the Bible tells us 3,000 people trusted Jesus. Wouldn't that be great to see? Wouldn't that be great to see here at Mount Joy? I don't say that because I care about having a big church. I say that because I absolutely do care about bringing people into the kingdom of God. Not there yet. Group life is an opportunity to do that. Group life brings us into circles instead of rows. That way we can do three main things that I want to cover for you. And any group leader who's here today should be able to tell us about these three things, but I want to review them for you, and then we'll come back to the group leaders in a minute. These three things also point back to Acts chapter 2. Ready? The first part of being in group life means challenging each other in spiritual growth. If you're taking notes today, write this down. Group life is challenging each other in spiritual growth. We get this from verse 42, which shows us that the early church was devoted to the apostles' teaching. They got their teaching from Jesus. They incorporated it into their own life. They passed it on to other people's lives. That's what group life is about. It's a ministry of multiplication, like 1 Timothy talks about. You should learn these things, teach them to other people, and teach those people to teach them to other people. That's what group life is like. They passed these teachings on. They broke bread together. They talked and discussed and helped each other grow. And when I say challenging, I don't mean challenging in a negative sense, like creating fights and conflict. I mean challenging in the way that iron sharpens iron, right? We challenge and sharpen each other to grow, to look at Scripture together, to talk about what we're learning. We help each other keep God's standards in our lives. That's what it means to challenge each other in spiritual growth. Secondly, group life means connecting with each other in authentic community. That's not, hi, how you doing? It's not just, I recognize that person. It's authentic community, meaning I really know you. I really am open with you about my life. We're talking about things in spiritual terms, but I also know who you are. I also care about you in the way that you are living. The Bible tells us in verse 44 and 46 that the believers were together, having everything in common. They worshiped together, and they participated in the life of Christ together. That's what we're doing, friends. When we are living out our salvation, we are participating in the life of Christ together. Christianity isn't just some label you pull down from somewhere and you slap it on your head and suddenly you're different. Christianity is the idea that we are surrendered and submitted to following Jesus, that we are participating in his life. This goes back to the idea that God not only gathers people to himself through the power of the Spirit, he connects people to each other by the power of the Spirit. We're spreading glitter on each other, right and left. We're on this spiritual journey together. We are here for each other. Got it? Connecting. Challenging and connecting. The third one is caring for each other. Now, you might think of church as a place that you go and you receive care. Pastoral care, people like to think about. Like, I go to the church, the pastor takes care of me spiritually. But see, we have a few hundred people connected to our church, and we have all the people in your circles that you love and care about that might be a need at any given time. So that means that it's impossible for three pastors to be present and knowledgeable for every single need that might arise. We absolutely do love you. We care about you. We care about your needs. We will respond when you ask for help. When you need us, we are there. But we also look to our congregational care system through our group life that helps us to care for one another. We have a staff that cares for the congregation. We also have a congregation that cares for the congregation. Does that make sense? Group life is an opportunity for us to exercise that. Acts 2:45 tells us the story of how the believers were willing to sacrifice their own time and possessions to meet the needs of others. This is what our groups can do. Be there for each other in times of need, both spiritual and practical support for the needs of people. Just like my dear friend who lost his wife. I don't put it on his pastor to be the only support for him during that time. I get to be part of his support system. I get to walk through him. I get to walk through that with him. And it's good and important that I do that. Almost wrapped up. Earlier I mentioned our group leaders just a few minutes ago. And our group leaders, that is everybody who leads one of those group areas that I talked about. Small groups, next steps groups, and we're not quite there yet, Earl. Thank you, though. Anyone who leads one of our groups is a group leader. We have been training since March of this year about these three areas of group life together. Challenging, spiritual growth, connecting in authentic community, and caring for each other. And we've been hearing stories about how this DNA of our effective groups is helping people and changing people's lives. We get to hear those stories together in our training sessions, and it's really cool to hear how glitter is being shared from one person to another. And see, because when our group life is thriving, it creates momentum in our church, in our congregation. Momentum for the mission, loving each other, enjoying God, loving each other, and blessing our neighbors. We have momentum for that mission because of, in part, our group life ministry. Because when we're doing what the church is meant to do, we know what we're about. And we see that in verse 47 from our passage today. It says, the Lord added to their number daily. We want people to come into the kingdom of God, right? We want that. We pray on a regular basis, Father, let your will be done, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, and so on the rest goes. And if we're going to pray that, we're going to be serious about it, we want people to come into the kingdom of God. And we get to join together with each other and God in that extreme devotion to be part of what he's doing to restore all of creation back to him. And that comes together in part through group life. Now, you can absolutely, if you want to, you can go through the motions of coming to church on Sundays, facing the front, singing in the worship service, listening to a sermon. You can even take the membership class. You can even call this place your home. But if you don't connect with other people, you're going to miss out on a big reason why God brought us together. Right? Church isn't meant to be a place where we hide. It's meant to be a place where we're known. And that comes largely in part through group life. Today, you have an opportunity to take a couple steps in that direction. The first one is through this. Everyone have one of these in the seat back in front of them? Take it out. Take a look at it. This is your connection card. You probably heard Pastor Josh talk about this earlier. Our connection card is something that we've revamped and asked everybody if they would fill it out. I know that sounds weird. You know, we went through a period of time, several years, that this was just for new people, right? Well, it is for new people. If you're someone who's been here less than a year or not very long and you haven't filled one of these out, please, please, please fill one of these out. Why? Not so we can spam your email box, but so that we can connect with you. We want to know you, and we want you to be known and loved and cared for and connected. That's the first reason we do this. The second reason we do this is because we want to receive your prayer requests. We have a prayer team, and you see them down front every week. At the end of the service, there are people down here that are ready to pray with you for any need that you might have, but they also pray on a regular basis for any needs that are turned in. We have a prayer document that goes out in our email every couple of weeks, and that's a way for you to pray together. But we receive those prayer requests right here on this card. There's a big blank on the back. You can fill out that prayer request and send it in, and we will pray with you and for you. The last reason that we do these cards is this list on the front. There's a bunch of these little bubbles here. It helps you get connected to something new at the church. One of these bubbles, guess what? Says small groups, doesn't it? Group life. If you're not part of a group, you have an opportunity right here to check off you're interested in being part of a group, and we can help you get connected. The other way we can do that is that we've got people around the room with these on today, these orange lanyards that are nice and bright, and I made them super nice and bright so you could see them when somebody's walking by you and they've got this on. This is an opportunity for you to say, hey, tell me about your group. How many people you got in your group? Where do you meet? What's it like? And they'll tell you. And maybe their group is a place you'd like to visit. Maybe it's not a place you'd like to visit and you want to find out about a different one. That's fine too. Go find another person that's got an orange lanyard on. Find out about their group. Or if you need help, give me a call. Give the church office a call. I've got people in the group, you've got a couple people in the group leaders who are willing to talk to you about the different groups and find out which one would be the best fit for you. So this is a way you can get connected with groups. And the last thing that we can do today is what we've been doing all along. We've got down here on my right, your left, we've got a cross station. And you'll find there the commitment cards that say, I am all in with Mountjoy Mennonite Church in these three areas. I want to be good at enjoying God, loving each other, and blessing our neighbors, and I'm going to make a commitment to that. So you sign your name on that, you put it on the cross, and that's your commitment today as part of your family of church. And so that's another opportunity that you have this morning. But before we do any of that, maybe there's someone in this room who doesn't actually say they believe in Jesus. Maybe you've come here today and this is your first exposure to the idea that we would follow Jesus. What is it even worth? What's it about? Well, we can tell you all about it all day long, but the biggest thing that I can tell you is that God loves you, that he created you for a relationship with him, and he wants you to be in that relationship. And that means surrendering your life to him and saying, I want everything that you intended for my life. Doesn't mean that life is always easy, but it does mean that your hope can never fail because it's based in the eternal God who made you and not anything that we can do for ourselves. So this morning, I want to ask us to bow our heads together, and I just want to say a simple prayer asking you and inviting you that if you haven't trusted Jesus before today, I want to ask you to do that now. You can just say a simple prayer like this. It says, Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, but I want to be called a saint. I want to join your family, and I want to live for you. I recognize that you gave your life for me, that you conquered sin and death for me, and that without you, I am lost. But with you, my hope is secure. I want to follow you now. Please help me to do that. This morning, if you have said a prayer like that to trust Jesus today for the first time, take a minute, let us know on your connection card, and also maybe come down front and pray with somebody after the service that can help you get connected with what God is doing here at the church, and we can help you grow in your faith and grow in your walk with Jesus. As a church, I want us all to look at the screen together, and we're going to close our service today with our all-in prayer that Pastor Joel wrote for us. I'm going to ask you to say this with me. Ready? Lord Jesus, empower us to be all in as a church family. During this season of new beginnings, help us to live together by reaching up, enjoying you, by reaching in, loving each other, and by reaching out and blessing our neighbors. Help us nurture an environment of belonging and becoming that builds us up and attracts our neighbors to you. Amen.